podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast with me, Rich Ferraro. It's Friday the 8th of March and welcome to our Friday 5 News Roundup. Every week our news hound Jamie Martin brings us the top 5 stories from the City Ground, so let's head straight over to Jamie at the 1865 News Desk.
Hi, this is Jamie Martin with your top 5 Forest stories from the 1865 News Desk. Now the headline to this week's news, Nottingham Forest could leave the City Ground, the chairman has said. In some rather bombshell news this week, Nottingham Forest chairman Tom Cartledge, who joined the club after the summer, has stated that Forest could look at other options for their home as negotiations with the council over rent stall. In an interview with BBC Radio Nottingham's Hugh Caswell, an award-winning journalist, Mr. Cartledge described how, due to the nature of the relationship at the current time between Nottingham Forest and Nottingham City Council, that the club are, and to quote, for the first time considering the future away from the City Ground. Now, the interview caused shock among many, and the council hope to restart negotiations as they want Forest to stay at the City Ground. With the council declaring bankruptcy recently, commissioners are now in charge of finances and are demanding a 4x increase to Forest's yearly rent of £250,000, totaling around £1 million is the demand they are making. That is the demand that the council are making, as said, and the reasons negotiations are now at an impasse. More updates to come on this. And now in first team related news, Felipe has announced that he will retire from professional football. After a 15-year playing career, Nottingham Forest star Felipe has announced that this week that he would retire at the end of the season, ending an illustrious career by the banks of the Trent. Starting his career at União in São Paulo, Brazil, Felipe rose up the ranks, featuring for clubs such as Corinthians, Porto, Atletico Madrid and eventually Nottingham Forest along the way. With over 320 appearances professionally, Felipe has featured both in club football and international, also playing a huge part in Porto's success in 2018, Atletico Madrid's in 2021 and Forest Premier League survival in 2023. From humble beginnings delivering mushrooms with his mother, even almost becoming a baseball player, it's fair to say that Felipe has forged quite a fantastic career here over in Europe and indeed previously in Brazil. Now with the last stretch in sight, Felipe is keen to end the season on a high by keeping Forest in the Premier League and picking up some games along the way. Persistent injury issues are being cited as the likely reason, an unfortunate reason, for Felipe's decision to retire. We're wishing him all the best in the rest of the season and a good retirement after. Now the third piece of news this week, Nottingham Forest and a coaching staff member have been charged by the FA. Following the furious scenes that followed Nottingham Forest's loss to Liverpool last weekend, Nottingham Forest Football Club and Stephen Reid, the club's first team coach, have both been charged by the FA and have until mid-March to respond to said charge. According to the charge, which was relayed via the FA spokesperson on social media platform X, it is alleged that the club, to quote, failed to ensure its players and or technical area occupants don't behave in an improper way after the final whistle. In the scenes, Forest defender Felipe was also given a yellow card. The charge also alleges that first team coach Stephen Reid used insulting language towards match officials and further abused officials after his sending off. The club and Stephen Reid have until Wednesday the 13th of March to officially provide their response to such charges. Now Nico Williams has been voted the Player of the Month. After a successful February for Nico Williams, fans have voted him as the club's Player of the Month, citing the need for more praise for the young Welshman who has truly come on leaps and bounds. After breaking back into the setup in the final weeks of Steve Cooper's tenure, Nico Williams soon found form. Nuno's arrival saw Montiel fighting for more game time, but after an injury to the Argentine fullback, Williams stepped up once more and has been stupendous, showcasing the characteristics of a very modern fullback, both going forward and defending. In the face of adversity, Williams persisted in the background and now has to be one of the first names on the team sheet, many say. And the Welsh fullback joined the Reds from Liverpool in the summer 2023 for a fee of around £17 million. And now in injury-related news, Willy Bolly and Ibrahim Sangare have returned. After post-AFCON injuries, Willy Bolly and Ibrahim Sangare have returned to the Nottingham Forest first team squad, with Sangare previously on the bench for the game against Liverpool last week. Following on from Ivory Coast's win against Nigeria in the African Cup of Nations final, Bolly and Sangare spent the week celebrating around the West African nation after such a historic win. Unfortunately for Forest, their return was not celebrated as both arrived back with injuries. Bolly's largely on loan, with Sangare suffering a knee injury. Thankfully though, both players have now returned to first team training. Sangare will be available for Forest's trip to Brighton, with Bolly likely to be, if not close to being ready to return after his injury. Positive injury updates there relating to Nottingham Forest AFCON winners Willy Bolly and Ibrahim Sangare. Now that is the latest from the 1865 News Desk. I'm Jamie Martin. Be sure to catch up with me on social media via @I'mJamieMartin on Twitter. Updates on Nottingham Forest related news throughout the week. Take care and speak to you soon.
Thank you very much, Jamie. And I'm joined once again by the Maradona of the Midlands, and we're going to put a little bit of scrutiny onto some of those stories. The first one, though, Maradona of the Midlands, is one that we discussed in our Forest Ramble discussion earlier this week. It had already broken that Tom Cartledge had made this pronouncement that Forest might be looking for other options. And I think really, you know, the reason for the impasse is a historic one, but it's been magnified, hasn't it, by the situation with the council being put under the care of commissioners. And David Mellon did come out with a statement, I think just a couple of days ago, saying this isn't, we can't be held to ransom, and we're not holding anyone to ransom ourselves, but also with the commissioners being in, we've got to do stuff that they're suggesting.
Yeah, I also heard David Mellon say that independent surveyors had set the value at £1 million a year, which to me doesn't sound like a lot, to be honest with you. You consider the size of that, the land they're on. There are shops in town that pay £250,000 a year rent for a minuscule percentage of the footprint that the club has got. And the £250,000 a year rent does, I think, vastly devalue the land there. The rent is a proportion of what they think the land is worth. I think the roughly in those circles, I think by 5% is the going rate for sort of return you want from your land investment. So I think that's really, really low. It values the land at about £5 billion, which doesn't sound right. Call me cynical, but I think there's something else going on here. And I think there's three options. One, the club could genuinely not want to pay the £1 million a year rent, and that's fine. This is just being honest and using this, making it public to force the council's hand. Two, it could be a way of softening the ground for a possible move, just sort of drip feeding the news. So I'm using the council as a convenient scapegoat to facilitate the move, which they actually secretly already want. So there's a couple. I'm a little bit cynical. I don't think £1 million a year for a Premier League club is that much, considering they were paying £250,000 as a Championship club years ago.
Yeah, and I think, well, anyone who's renting privately will probably tell you that their rent has gone up exponentially. And as you said, it is what I believe would be termed as a prime piece of real estate. The valuation of the land is also considering the fact that if it were not being used as a football ground, then it would make a really, really prime spot to build residential properties, as with some of the other properties in the area. I mean, obviously, you'd have the cost of demolition and development, but that would pay off in no time, I would guess, he says, not really knowing much about the property and land market. What I would say on that latter point that you've raised is £1 million a year, like you say, it doesn't seem like an extortionate figure in and of itself. And £1 million a year is essentially about £20,000 a week. And let us remind ourselves that is half a Harriata. So when you put it in those terms, there's way worse things that Forest are spending that kind of money on, isn't there?
There are, yeah. I mean, it's a drop in the ocean for a Premier League club. The council have to maximise their income now. I mean, there's people suffering genuine problems, you know, people in care and people who need, I don't know, ambulances to take them to bed, wherever, daycare centres or things like that. There's people, youth centres closing. So the council can't just be a sentimentalist and say, yeah, oh, go on, you're the famous Nottingham Forest, go and have it for less than market value. That's just, and especially with the government overlooking their every move now, that's just not going to happen. So the club either have to agree to that £1 million or be honest and say, well, look, we don't really want to stay here. We think it's better if we move elsewhere and build a brand new shiny stadium.
Which would be at odds with what Mr. Marinakis has said in the past. I think it's also, you're making a very good point. The reality is, and this is without getting party political, that social care costs are the greatest burden upon any council. And Nottingham has this kind of odd mix of having quite a hefty student population. So maybe some people who don't pay council tax, but then a lot of people who need the services as well. So they will be looking to maximise revenue. And, you know, there's all kinds of political arguments you can have about that. I think that it's a very interesting one. There's more to come on this, clearly. I'll just add in there that David Mellon, I saw a quote from him saying, we don't want Forest to leave the City Ground. And my immediate thought was, well, we don't want Christmas of, say, turkeys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also, but I had, I don't know, thinking outside the box, we could keep Forest in Nottingham, maybe buy and kill two birds with one stone to keep the turkey metaphor going, by using the Broad Marsh site maybe for a new stadium. Is it, I don't know if it's big enough or not. It seems used to be pretty big. I mean, there's a Wimpy there. Maybe it had to be pretty big, but maybe you could have all the benefits of a city centre stadium right next to a bus station, right next to a railway station, and we'll make use of that massive piece of land in the centre of town, which isn't doing anything at the moment. I don't know if I'll put that out there for the powers that be. Maybe that could help everybody out.
Well, it's an interesting thought. And what I'd also say is I pray for anyone with the loop road system who tries to drive to the ground. So, okay, let's move on. And the housewives and mothers of Nottingham were all shedding a tear, including my very own Mrs. F, at the news that Felipe will be leaving Nottingham Forest at the end of the season. And I think it speaks volumes for how tough the Premier League return was, that Felipe, in basically just over a year at the City Ground so far, has become a bit of a legend when he's only actually played a tiny amount of football in that time.
Yeah, he came in. I think having a ponytail and a beard obviously helped the situation. You know, you don't see that very often these days. And he just looked like an Adonis. So that helped, and he just brought out a little bit of gritty Atletico Madrid know-how to our defence. And just when we were really struggling to get a result, he really, really contributed. Sometimes I did criticise him. I thought he was a bit grabby and corners and set pieces. I always thought it was an accident waiting to happen, but by the end of the season,
but he was coached by Diego Simeone, so what do you expect?
Yes. Been a pre-VAR environment, I guess, but by the end of the season, I was the same as everybody else. He won me over completely, and it's sad. It was the statement was a little bit confusing. He obviously put it through Google Translate, and I'm not quite 100% clear. I wasn't sure if he was.
Well, the translation that you've seen was actually he posted on Instagram in Portuguese, so it was Instagram's translation.
Oh, Instagram's translation, and then. So I wasn't sure if he's leaving straight away to go to Brazil, whether he's leaving at the end of the season to go to a Brazilian club, or if he was just retiring full stop. But it seems like he is retiring now.
Well, I mean, it hasn't been officially confirmed, but it seems like he is leaving the City Ground at the end of the season, and it seems that it's most likely that he will retire. But I also wouldn't be massively surprised if he were to go back to Brazil to see out last days of his career. And it's been a while since he's been in Brazil. And of course, in that time, he's lived through a pandemic. He's 34 years old. He's going to be 35. So I think family will be important to him as well, having been away from home for so often. So I don't think anyone can begrudge him that. And I would also agree with a lot of your sentiment. I think he did have moments where he was a little bit vulnerable in terms of his actual adaptation to dealing with Premier League players, and like you say, committed a few fouls and, like everyone in the Forest team, made a couple of little errors here and there. But he also brought in a huge amount, not just of ability, but experience and expertise that you can, that you only get from having played at a high level for a good chunk of time. And yeah, I mean, quite apart from the naturally the devastating good looks and the kind of charisma that he has, it's also a thing of, sort of, you know, having a senior defender, someone who the other players look up to. It's notable that Murillo's played some of his best football when he's been alongside Felipe. And I actually thought that Felipe was really good in the last match he played against Man United. But we were also speculating he's basically the modern day Paul McGrath, isn't he? His knees are shot. He probably can't train very much. So you're only going to have a limited lifespan given the physical demands of the modern game.
That's right. And just talking from personal experience, it's heartbreaking when your body no longer can do what your brain wants it to do on a football pitch. And I've gone through this recently, and it's a very distressing period of time.
And just, I will echo the thoughts of many others, and this occurred to me independently, but I've seen lots of people say it on social media. Wouldn't it be wonderful if he does get that goal and he manages to celebrate with a capoeira flip? Because he did that last year, and then his goal against Southampton was chalked off, probably rightly, but it was offside. And it just would have, I mean, it was brilliant. It's just a brilliant moment when he did that. And it would have been so great if it had stood. So we hope that he gets a goal before the end of the season.
The 1865 Match Report.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're pleased to announce that this episode of 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast, is sponsored by Green King Sport, where football is more than a game. Green King Sport venues are showing every single televised Forest fixture over the 23-24 season. And with more than 900 sports pubs across the UK, it doesn't matter where you're based, you can catch every single minute of the action. If you download the Green King Sport app, you won't just get 10% off all drinks anytime there's a match on the TV, but this month there's also free Guinness to be won and the chance to win one of six holidays. And you'll be supporting us here at 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast.
You're listening to 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast.
Welcome back to 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast, and the Friday Five on Friday the 8th of March, where we bring you the top five stories from the City Ground. And Married on the Midlands, the next story is, as I predicted would happen in the Forest Ramble podcast earlier this week, that Forest have been charged and Stephen Reid has been charged and Paul Tierney hasn't had any kind of punishment whatsoever. And that feels a little bit, it feels like it's adding insult to injury.
Yeah. I mean, it's inevitable. Once you go onto the pitch and start saying things to the referee, you're going to get charged. It's as clear as day. I don't know if about Tierney. People say he's been moved to VAR for this weekend. I don't know if that's a punishment or not.
It's not. These are scheduled rotations that they do.
So, yeah, they're going to back their own man. That was one of the problems with the PGMOL. They sort of cover their own backs first rather than looking at the wider good of the game. It would be good to get an apology from Tierney, at least, to say, yeah, sorry, I made a mistake, but I've not heard anything come out so far. It's very frustrating. But I don't want to talk about it too much because it's getting a bit too boring talking about it all over again. And people, I'm sure listeners are getting a bit sick of talking about referees as well.
Well, I mean, we've always maintained on this podcast, going right back to the early days when Baz and I were doing individual match reports back in the Championship days, we've always said we don't want the conversation to be dominated by referees. But this season, it feels like it's hard it's been hard to ignore the effect that refereeing has had on the outcome of several Forest matches. And I saw somewhere, and this was just a comment on a news article, but a Forest supporter saying that actually we've had the apologies from Pogmol have come in, I think we've had apologies from Pogmol in a third of our home games since Nuno's come in.
Yeah, it's a cumulative effect of sort of having it every sort of couple of weeks. That's what's really, I think that's what, if that's the situation happened in isolation and the Bolly thing hadn't happened and the two penalty shouts hadn't happened, I don't think there would have been anywhere near as much fuss about the drop ball situation. I think it's just people just fed up of going to home games and seeing us robbed every single week. It's just it grinds you down and makes you angry. You know, we all probably in the cool light today probably think, yeah, we shouldn't get too wound up by these things. It's only football, but once you're in there, it takes over, doesn't it? You get wound up as much as the next person. It's really distressing when you feel like you've been robbed.
And listener, if you haven't caught our Forest Ramble discussion from earlier this week, I do suggest you have a listen, because we do talk about this. And despite our very own Baz saying that he's let his blood pressure calm down, he's taking a deep breath, I think he was, along with the rest of us, was getting similarly excited when we're talking about it. So do check that out. We do discuss it at length. On to happier news, which is Nico Williams, who is a player who has struggled to establish himself at times. He's had good spells and bad spells, but I think recently he's been playing his best football as a right, certainly his best football at right back, but probably his best football in a Forest shirt, and has got the Player of the Month award to show for it.
Yeah, I think fully deserved. He's been brilliant in the last few weeks. It's just showing sort of a bit of that potential now that you maybe saw at Fulham in their promotion season. He's got great athleticism, and he's been up and down that flank throughout the match. And just last season, he was getting found out defensively a little bit, but maybe that year's experience and a bit more know-how and a bit of coaching has just improved his game now. He's a much stronger defensive and getting some good crunching tackles in as well.
Yeah, I felt that his positional sense defensively wasn't always as good as it should have been. And so his anticipation and his positional sense have improved. I also would like to remind everyone that you don't, even at £17 million, which was a phenomenal amount of money for us at the time, but you don't pay £17 million for a 21-year-old and expect them to be the finished product. They need to develop. And so we signed him partly to do a job for us, as a right wing back, but also partly for the potential that he was going to improve. And hopefully the improvements we're seeing and the consistency we're seeing is going to pay dividends. It's interesting, isn't it? You know, who'd have thought last season we had so many people, and even some of this season, saying Jed Spence would have been a better signing. And you look at how their careers are diverging. It's quite an interesting sort of divergence, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it's really sad about Jed Spence, to be honest with you. It's just that he was so good. I mean, we wouldn't have got promoted without Jed Spence. Let's just put that on the table. He was so amazingly good. 90 minutes up and down the pitch, brilliant going forwards, brilliant defensively. And I could fully understand why all the biggest clubs in Europe were looking at him during that promotion season. Just something wrong with his attitude, maybe.
But Neil Warnock was right, wasn't he?
Yeah, maybe he just thinks he's made it. I didn't like that that picture of him and
a cigar
with a lot of the other players. I don't think they should have taken photographs with cigars. I mean, they're role models for young kids, and then it just put out the wrong message for me.
But also, it's absolutely deeply illustrated that Neil Warnock was right, because he aimed it at Warnock, saying, "Look, I've made it, dude," and he's disappeared ever since.
Yeah, and it was, I don't know, but the stories were coming out that even in that January of the promotion season, he was telling everybody that he was going to go to Tottenham, whatever happened in that season. So I just think if he had some better advisors, they would have said to him, go back to Forest, play there. You're going to play every week. and you know, that would have been better for you. Mm-hmm. Right, I mean, not to go to a club where you haven't even spoken to the manager, and in his first press conference says, "I didn't want him."
Yeah.
It just
it's never going to go well after that.
It was never going to go well.
No.
So yeah, no. It's a pity he wasn't advised better there.
Yeah, and let's move on to our final story of the week. As so often, Jamie has brought us an injury update, and it's concentrating on two of the AFCON returnees. Ibrahim Sangare was on the bench last week. Willy Bolly has returned to training. I mean, despite the outgoing of players, we've still got positions where we've got some options. And right now, I think both of those players would struggle to get in the first team right now, because Dominguez and then either Yates or Danilo alongside him is a good combination. And so Sangare might struggle to get in. And then at the back, Murillo is first name on the team sheet, along with, at the moment, it's Omar Bamadeli, but it's also been Nyakate. It's also been Felipe. So it's in both cases, it's... the competition is tough. You've got three or four players going for one position in the team, and just because they've won the African Cup of Nations doesn't mean that they get a divine right to get into that team.
No, you're absolutely right. I think maybe Bolly is probably closer to the first team than Sangare, just because he's never really let us down. He's always sort of been a steadying influence at the back. So if we've got some tough away games coming up or something, I'd be always tempted to play him. Sangare's always he's been a bit flaky this season. He's shown brilliance in moments, but you wouldn't want to hang your hat on him. He's just you really.
But couldn't we have said that about Aral Mangala for a lot of last season?
He could have done, but I mean, he improved, and then I don't think Sangare's quite at that point there. He's just, I don't know, just a little bit casual sometimes. And can show brilliance. He could be sort of a game-changing player. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Danilo there, Dominguez, Yates. It's hard, but I think this is where the use of substitutes comes in. I saw a statistic last week that Liverpool have used the most substitutes of any team in the division, and they picked up most points late on in matches. So they're using it really well, and I think it's something maybe. Not just Forest, but every club can learn from. Just get your players to run their socks off, work themselves into the ground for 60 minutes and freshen it up. Keep it all fresh. If Yates is worn out, bring on Sangare. You know, it's something we can use our squad depth as an advantage.
And of course, it's going to be important because we've got two away games coming up. We've got Brighton this Sunday, and then the following Saturday, we've got Luton away. And then the run of games, so... Palace, then Fulham, then away at Spurs. And so we are going to need all the members of the squad, especially now they are a thinner squad. I think there's some real, you know, you're backed up by the data, but there's also logic in what you're saying.
Yes, I'm glad.
Okay, so it's going to be a tough away fixture on Sunday for Forest. Of course, we'll have our match reporters there, and we'll bring you something on Monday in your podcast feed. If you like what you hear from us, then of course do let us know. Send us a message, share our content via social media. We're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, we're on TikTok, we're on YouTube. We might be in other places as well.
MySpace, yeah.
Bebo, yeah, okay. And you can get all of our links on 1865.football. So stay tuned, and we will be back in your feeds very soon. Thank you very much to the Maradon the Midlands. Thank you to 1865 Podcat, who's been beavering away in the background on production duties. And thank you very much for joining us. Come on, you Reds. Hello and welcome to the Friday...
Sports Social Podcast Network.